Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:15, and that's Pacific Summer Time, and it's August 27th. Well, this has certainly been, you know, one of the more eventful weeks in the year. And today the headlines were stolen by the oil price, which was up by approximately $3.50 on WTI, West Texas Intermediate, but that's, you know, in the region of 9%. Which, you know, considering, you know, a three dollar move, you know, at 1 year ago would probably not have moved the market at all. But considering the decline that we've had and prices were trading below $40 earlier this week, well, then, you know, this is a sign that at least support is coming back in the short term, that a near term low has been found. And this has been such an incredibly persistent decline from late June that it was working on 9 consecutive weeks to the downside earlier this week, and now that's going to be reversed. So this will be the first upward week in 9 weeks. And from an area of previous support and also the psychological $40 level. Well, $40 is a psychological level because that was an area where many people would have thought that prices couldn't have gone above 10 years ago, and now it's still a psychological level because it's a sort of a Rubicon for a lot of people, and not least because it represents an area where so much additional supply becomes uneconomic. Well, we're not in an environment where the market is being totally flooded with supply from new cheap sources. Rather, that there is additional supply being brought into the market because Saudi Arabia is attempting to recapture market share and preserve market share when Iran is coming back into the global markets and is pumping with alacrity in order to regain the market share that they lost almost entirely due to sanctions. Well, when you have two very large low-cost producers competing for market share, then that represents quite a significant rise in supply, but also the fact that you haven't had the kind of bankruptcies yet in domestic US production that would have inhibited their additional supply has driven the price down. But nonetheless, this and all of that is already in the price. This is, you know, a well-developed story already, and $40 is a psychological level of support. Now, if this is going to be more than a short-term bounce, then that $40 level will have to hold on the next pullback. But if oil prices have been falling persistently for 8 weeks, then oil shares have been pulling back even more aggressively. They've been shedding workers in order to try and contain costs, and they've been putting lids on expansion projects. They've been cancelling projects. But and all of that in an effort to preserve their margins. Well, that's then people have been really buying the energy shares for much of the last couple of years. Not so much because they've been such spectacular capital appreciation candidates, but rather for their yields. And, you know, there are some pretty impressive yields out there in the energy sector right now, and the question, of course, is whether they'll be able to sustain those yields. But in the short term, there is potential for at least a short-term rally in here. They're very overextended on the downside. Well, if you look at then the solar sector, well, you know, solar is an interesting area because the technology is improving at such a remarkably quick pace. But, of course, that's not actually what's driving the profitability of solar cell manufacturers, because the kind of cells that they're selling aren't nearly the same type of things that's been created in the lab, and what they're really betting on is additional installations. Well, the lower oil price is obviously having an effect on their profitability because it affects the argument for why you need to install them, and not least because coal prices have been falling, natural gas prices have been falling, and uranium prices have been falling. So it's not just oil, and obviously oil is not a heating is not really the a transportation fuel. It's and it's not a fuel used for energy production, but it is indicative of sentiment in the energy sector broadly. Well, with oil bouncing, then some of these solar companies, and some of them are really very overextended on the downside. Well, some additional upside tomorrow would suggest that SolarCity is posting a failed downside break. And SunEdison, which had had one of the most consistent charts within the solar sector until earlier this year, is now down 70% from that high. Well, if oil was down for 8 consecutive weeks, well, SunEdison has been down for quite a bit more, quite a bit longer than that, and well, also found at least near-term support in here today. Obviously, they've got problems if they're down 70%, but even in that case, it is deeply oversold in here. Well, the commodity complex generally has been weak, and copper was also firmer in here. And it's in an environment where the dollar has been comparatively steady in here. The euro was weaker again in here today. It's down now to 112.42. It was down 72 ticks. The pound was particularly weak yesterday. The pound has been really one of the steadiest currencies around, but it was, I guess, standing out for some selling pressure. And of course, there isn't anybody really wants a strong currency in this environment. And China moving to allow its currency to weaken here only exaggerates that fact. But the fact that the dollar is strengthening, well, the euro is still the carry trade currency of choice. And the inverse correlation between the euro starting to weaken again and stock markets picking up would suggest that, you know, that's still, that inverse correlation is still, you know, really very much in evidence. So the majority of European indices today were stronger by over 3%, and they continue to rebound from this week's lows. But, you know, this has been just an incredibly large pullback, and in such short order that it's going to have an impact on sentiment. That what we can anticipate is that we are going to see these indices unwind their oversold conditions, that they're going to get back up to their first areas of potential resistance, and that's really when the big question is asked. Well, anyone who's been to the chart seminar will remember the very first example that we go to, and it's a breakdown from an overhead trading range. And people who didn't sell get down to the bottom and they're praying that the prices will go back up. Well, that's probably how people are thinking right now, that they would just dearly love to be able to sell at last month's prices. And the way the market is reacting at present, well, they might well get a chance to do that. But really, when we think about just how much technical deterioration has occurred, then a period of support building is going to be required before we can see the broader markets push back up to new high ground. And what's also interesting in here today is that the majority of Asian indices were in positive territory, and they've been really among the weakest of any indices around, and this is really quite a bullish development, at least in the very short term, that they could unwind their short-term oversold conditions. And the other interesting point was that US GDP growth was upgraded to over 3%. Now, we haven't seen 3% growth in the US for quite some time. A lot of people have been saying, well, you know, this the first quarter of the year with the extremely bad weather was an anomaly, and now we're getting the bounce back from that, and there's certainly some probably some weight to that argument. And also that house prices are generally speaking firming up, that in certain areas, particularly coastal areas, the prices are back above where they were in 2008, and generally speaking in urban areas prices have recovered. Well, you know, then this isn't a particularly bearish outcome. In fact, you'd consider that that's pretty bullish. You don't have any kind of inflation, not when commodity prices are coming down, and not in the way that the Fed measures inflation, because plenty of inflation has occurred in education prices and insurance prices and in rental prices. But that's not necessarily how the Fed measures inflation. And food and energy and the hedonic way that they have of measuring the cost of living haven't really moved all that much. We don't have yet rampant wage inflation. There certainly has been some wage inflation. Walmart doesn't simply raise its minimum wage for no reason. That's probably one of the reasons that has contributed to the pretty steep decline that it has experienced over the last number of months. But that's a share that's also found support in here, at least in the short term. Then there's still an incredibly open debate about whether the Fed will raise rates this year. But the number of reasons that would deter them from doing that is declining rather sharply. They may have, I think what I found very interesting was the way that the majority of commentators took the Fed statement at Jackson Hole earlier this week, saying that the cause for, or the reasons for why they might raise rates have dimmed. But they didn't. He followed that almost immediately by saying, but they might improve again before we get to September. So, you know, they're totally hedging their bets, and they're leaving their options open almost entirely. That really does mean that they're going to react to the environment as they see it, and any real debate about it isn't going to be particularly productive. But what we do know is that the first rate hike, whenever it comes, won't be followed by the second rate hike unless they have very, very good reason to raise rates, and they're probably going to wait and see what happens. Well, when we look at the stock markets then, we're presented with a much more volatile environment. That the VIX index got up to its highest level since 2008. But if you look at it over the last 20 years, then the number of times that it's gone above 50 are only two, one in 2008 and one this week. That'll tell you just how volatile it has been. And single stock volatility has been even greater. So that would suggest that there has been enough of damage done to sentiment that we are entering a period of time which is going to be, you know, quite substantially more volatile on a single stock basis and quite a bit more rangy for the majority of the major indices. But that also would lead us to look at the consistency of charts that are still reasonably consistent and to give those the benefit of the doubt, and that there are most definitely buying opportunities in the shares that have pulled back the most, where there are very deep oversold conditions, and not least if valuations are back at reasonably attractive levels. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.